Proper Sport at 6. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome along to the FL 72. Sam and Tom with you over the next hour, talking all things Football League, including Leeds United bouncing back to victory again against Barnsley at the weekend in that Yorkshire derby. 6 points out of a possible last nine for Leeds. Are things on the up? We'll talk Sheffield Wednesday as well. Goalless draw for them at the weekend against Reading. 3 draws in a row for Carlos Carvajal's sides. And also a draw for Sheffield United. What's up with them not winning a game? Hull City down to 20th. Are the Tigers in grave danger of a double relegation? We'll discuss news across the wider Football League, including Ian Holloway. Did you see that rant at supporters who left early following the 2-2 draw with Brentford on Monday night? Chris Coleman, he's got a win for Sunderland as well. Are they going to survive the drop? We'll discuss it all and more, plus all the regular features in the FL 72. And frantically typing away and scurriedly putting
Hello.
His headphones on. It's Tom Carnduff, all right?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Good, yeah, not too bad.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. We've got the niceties out of the way. Let's talk a bit of football.
Forced as ever.
Indeed, very forced. Leeds United.
Yay.
The auction news will kick off with as usual. And we always tend to start with Leeds and then a bit more Leeds and then a bit more Leeds and a bit more Leeds as the comments come in on Facebook.
Yes.
If you're a fan of another club, you can get stuck in on Facebook, on Twitter, just to even the balance a little bit. But it is your show, as we say, so we do discuss these matters. So get stuck in on Facebook, get your questions in for Tom as well. And, well, as we just said there at the top of the show, 6 points out of a possible nine. Does that make for a happy Leeds United camp at the minute?
Yeah, given the Wolves hammering in the week as well, which is weird. It kind of felt harsh, but not harsh. It was an odd game. So after that, 6 points out of a possible nine. You imagine Leeds fans do seem quite happy with it. Good performance against Middlesbrough. Good performance against Barnsley on Saturday as well. It was a poor Barnsley side, but at the same time, I think Leeds made them look a bit poor at times. So, yeah, given the fact we're going into the week saying it's a difficult one for Leeds United to come out with 6 points out of a possible nine, as Thomas Christiansen said after Saturday, you'd take that. And Aston Villa up next, it's probably the confidence that they need, given the fact they've been on quite a poor run of form before that.
Yeah, I think anybody would have taken those 6 points for Leeds 10 days ago, but before these fixtures kicked off. Are you seeing a different Leeds side in the last 3 games? There seems to be a bit more confidence about him, certainly a bit more swagger from Saez, who's been good all season, but Alioski seems to be coming too as well now.
Yeah, Alioski really dropped in form with Leeds' drop in form. But much better on Saturday, well-taken goal. He's been performing quite well, scored 4 in 4 now, or 4 goals in his last 4 games. Again, an important player, links up well with Saez, who has just been fantastic throughout this season. He's really a talented player. We've been critical, or a lot of people have been critical of Leeds' recruitment. It's got to be said, Saez and Alioski look real good players, real good bits of business, Saez especially. And you throw in Hernandez there as well. When they're on their day, as they were on Saturday, they combined really, really well. But saying that, Barnsley were bad, but then I think it was an element of Leeds making them look bad at times as well. But overall, very positive early afternoon, and Leeds could obviously go into the weekend, watch the other results come in, still within touching distance of the playoffs.
I think I've been impressed with some of the signings, the likes of Saez in particular. Obviously, we have been critical. I've been critical as well of some of the signings. But one thing I was thinking about, the start of the season on this show, I did say that when you bring in so many, particularly so many from abroad, if you get 3, probably 4 diamonds from that cluster of signings, then you're doing pretty well. So the fact that Alioski is looking better, the keeper, Vidvall, do you think a better game, obviously, against Barnsley at the weekend. Did you see signs that he can still cut it as a Championship keeper?
I don't know. I think it was better because he literally had nothing to do. It's probably the only thing he had to do was get a cap off a supporter in the crowd.
Pretty well, to be fair.
Because he forgot to obviously ask for one or didn't know how bad the sun would be. So had very little to do. But yeah, the amount of players who've come in, one or two, obviously, or two or three, sorry, especially have turned out quite well. You know, you look at the amount of goals and assists that Saez and Alioski combined have together. They're really impact players given the short time they've been in the league. The point is, though, the likes of Matthijs Klik, who obviously took to Twitter on Friday for a gif, who you presume was aimed at the fact he wasn't involved in the squad again. He was a regular for FC 20, Poland international, cost £1.5 million. We've rarely seen him. We played against Burnley in the cup and did quite well. That's it. We've not seen much of him. So you're wondering what he's got to do to be involved and why he's not being involved. Why haven't we seen the likes of Chubitsky come in? He's another player. He liked the tweet, funny enough. We're judging everything by Twitter. But he, you get the messages of they're not happy players and they've come here to play football. They're not playing football, especially Chubitsky. We've not seen. He played at Leicester, didn't do well, but that's one performance. He's not even been making the bench. He's yet to get on the pitch in the league for Leeds. It's remarkable. I just don't get what these players have to do to be involved.
To be fair, but some of them as like in central midfield, obviously that's quite a strong area for Leeds. Would you expect someone to just come into their team, £1.5 million from 20, to necessarily just come in and be able to push out the likes of Phillips or Vieira?
No, but you'd expect them to be involved more, especially this weekend with Vieira suspended. O'Kane did well, but you're thinking, why is Klik not involved in some capacity? Some games he might have suited. We don't know. I just don't get what they have to do to be involved. It's obviously they've been bought here saying, look, you'll play football. They're not playing football. They've given up regular football back at their old clubs. And FC 20, a decent club, international experience. He's come here obviously to try and help, you presume, Leeds get this top six aim that they were so publicly announced at the start of the year. And there's no involvement whatsoever, not even making the bench at times. And I'm not sure what's happening, why they're not involved. But it's really intriguing as to why they aren't playing more than they are.
We'll see if some of the others get their chance. Ekuban has come in, though, from obviously being injured, getting back into the swing of things now. He seems quite a bubbly character as well in the dressing room. You've been impressed with what he's contributed so far?
Yeah, he was unlucky. Got injured at Sunderland, which was pretty much his league debut for Leeds. So he's been unlucky. Come in. Middlesbrough and Wolves were difficult. He was introduced at times where Leeds were up against it. Still came on, especially Middlesbrough just after the penalty. He went to 2-1. It became more of a game of Middlesbrough attacking, but Leeds had chances. Started on Saturday and looked good. I thought it was a bit harsh to drop Kemar Roofe, but good decision in the end. He looks deadly. Unlucky not to get a goal. He looks a good player. More impressive him than J-Roy Grott, who's come numerous times off the bench and done very little. He seems a decent player. But not really seen much of him yet because of the injury. If he has a run of games where he starts, if he starts again on Friday, plays well, then starts again the week after, then, you know, it's a decent, it could be a decent pickup. But again, just not seen enough of him. But the very little we have seen of him, it looks quite promising.
Villa obviously up next. They won again at the weekend, beating Ipswich a couple of weeks ago. Steve Bruce bemoaning an injury crisis as well, but to be fair to Villa, they've kept winning and kept doing the job well.
Yeah, was curious to see what would happen at Villa this year. It was one of those teams where you're not quite sure where to place, but it's worked out quite well so far. Steve Bruce managing to obviously get players in last year. They've been together now for a year. They've got talent up front as well. And it's working out. It's working out quite well at the moment. Back to where Villa kind of should be in this league with the team they've got, I think. A bit like Sunderland, when they got relegated, when they came down in such bad form, you can't imagine it was going to do well straight away. So they've had that year, they managed to stay in the division, got stronger, and it's paying off at the moment. They're only 5 points off the top two. They're certainly capable of doing it, and Leeds picked up a couple of wins last week, but they're going to find it quite difficult evening on Friday. So yeah, it should be a good game, given the fact that Leeds seem to have halted their run of terrible form, have picked up a couple of wins in the last couple of weeks.
Well, obviously the difference between Leeds this season and last season is the striker scoring goals, and you know, in Adoma, Villa have a man who is scoring week in, week out at the moment, and that could be a difference come Saturday. But as we said, to be fair, Leeds starting to dish the goals around the team now.
Yeah, it's difficult. Leeds, you're looking more to the likes of Saez Alioski, the attacking midfielder, to contribute with goals, where we know the talent that Villa have up front throughout the squad, really. Been a couple of knocks, but adding the likes of Snodgrass in the summer, very good addition at this level. Obviously, you're wondering the whole links there to probably bring him in. But they've got threats throughout the squad. Of course, they're probably better up front, but throughout the squad they have got some real quality in that team.
Adoma is scoring goals, 10 league goals I think for the season, and as well Conor Hourihane too, who obviously people questioned when he left Barnsley whether he was good enough to play at a big club like Villa, but he's doing the business. 5 goals this season for him as well, which is on par with Leeds' top scorer now in Alioski.
Yeah, again, a good pickup. Barnsley, of course, who have become a bit of a selling club. Villa profiting on that, getting the likes of Conor Hourihane, who, very, very good player, very good midfielder at this level. Was part of that Barnsley team who did pretty well in previous seasons. He can contribute all around the pitch. And again, it's that we speak about, obviously, the attacking options they've got up front. We talk about, you know, the likes of Kadira as well, Scott Hogan, who they're from Brentford, who, again, have sold over the years, but much to Villa's benefit. Then you've got the likes of Birkir Bjarnason, who's linked with Leeds not too long ago as part of the Iceland squad that beat England, Henry Lansbury, Glenn Whelan coming in as well, and, of course, John Terry joining. It's an experienced head there, so they've got a nice mix of players throughout that squad, and as it shows in the league table in recent weeks, it's paying off. It's paying off. They've got a manager who knows this level. They've got a team who, together, have got the right mix. Players in there have experienced much success, previous achievements. And they can go to Elland Road full of confidence, despite Leeds' recent mild upturn in form. They could go there fancying that they could get the 3 points.
Yeah, Leeds, what do you think, that realistically? Do you think Leeds can come away with 3 points at the weekend, or do you think they have struggled when they've come up against not just the top teams, but the teams that have a little bit about them physically as well? And obviously, with Villa, some of the players you mentioned there, so that you're signing experienced players, the likes of a John Terry, those kind of players who do mix it at this level. That is where we've seen Leeds struggle.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting, but Leeds desperately, I think, well, maybe not so much desperately, but would like to get a run of back-to-back wins now. At the start of the season, obviously went top. It was going great. They've been on a terrible run of form, picked up a win here and there. But again, the 2 wins last week were broken up by a defeat at Wolves. So I think 2 victories, back-to-back victories, will be massive. Be massive in trying to get the confidence back, trying to get a bit of form going. And I think they could get 3 points. They've got it in them to get 3 points. With the talent they've got there, then they're able to. But you are looking at the likes of Saez and Alioski, 2 very important players to be turning up. And as we've said, they do struggle against teams that have got a bit of physicality about them. But in front of an Elland Road crowd, under the lights, on TV, they'll be looking for a performance, but looking for a win. So again, as much as Villa will fancy it, I think Leeds will be up for it as well. It should make for a great game.
Yeah, it should be a good game live, of course, here on Radio Yorkshire. And, well, with Villa, just looking at their away form very quickly, played 9, won 4, drawn 2, lost 3, only lost 1 of their last 5 on the road, that being a defeat to Wolves, which obviously...
Understandable.
Yeah, we know what it's like going there this season. But won their last two, beating QPR, beating Preston, draw against Birmingham as well in that derby game. So pretty decent on the road to Villa at the minute under Steve Bruce. Leeds is home form. It's kind of mid-table. Obviously, the defeats, the run of defeats Leeds have had didn't help. Only won two of their last five. But of course, winning last time out against Middlesbrough. Think about the home form. Obviously, it'll be another full house on Friday night. The fans have come out in force this season for Leeds. Obviously, with having three defeats at home, which have all come from middle of October onwards, do you think they can put that behind them now? Because the home form at the start of the season was good.
Yeah, I think, like you said, touched upon it, they had a problem against Preston when they played them at Elland Road. It was something new for Leeds. It was obviously early on they had a team who were happy to quite come to come and take a point, and they didn't really know how to beat that. Fulham came and made it difficult. They couldn't break them down. Got a couple of wins and obviously went in that just terrible run of form, which is, as shown in the form table, shown in the actual table, they've suffered from it. But they have shown that they are a good team. They are a good side. They've got some good players there. I think these players now, with the greatest respect, without, you know, some of the clubs they've come from in some of the countries, playing at Elland Road is a bit different. They're not having 32, 33, 34,000 people there. It's not going to be the noisy, loud atmosphere they've got. You know, when they're playing, was it Ekiban came from kind of the Italian, or a couple of them come from like the Italian second tier, Alioski coming from Switzerland. It's a bit different. They're not obviously the bigger clubs over there that get the atmospheres that they do in England. So I think they've grown accustomed to it now. I think they're used to it. And with the Middlesbrough game, they showed that they could handle that kind of pressure. Leeds desperately needed a win. It got tense at times. They showed up. They performed. They got the result. And they could go into Villa with the same attitude. But again, Villa are a very good side. It's not going to be easy. But to use the cliche, I suppose, no game in the Championship is easy, so we'll have to wait and see how it goes.
Of course, it isn't. Let's just have a look at the rest of the top six at the minute. We'll get to some of the comments on Facebook, because there's quite a lot already coming in. Wolves still top of the table, 4 points clear. They are just on an unbelievable winning run at the moment. Next up for Wolves is a trip to Birmingham on Monday. But a Monday night football.
Interesting.
For the Sky Cameras, a Midlands derby. Cardiff, again, they showed no signs of going anywhere. Do you think Cardiff realistic now for automatic promotion under Neil Warnock? It's another cracking job he's done there.
Yeah, I'm not. I just don't know with Cardiff. I really don't know what to expect from them. Because, again, we said it before. We said, oh, when will they drop off? They'll eventually drop off. They've not. And they're still up there. They're still getting results. So, yeah, Neil Warnock doing the very typical Neil Warnock thing, coming in and getting a team performing and getting results over the course of a season. Norwich up for them next. Again, a winnable game. I don't know. I just don't know if they've got the talent, individual talent within the squad to fend off the likes of Sheffield United, Aston Villa, who we've already spoke about as well, Derby, Middlesbrough, Leeds, who obviously went there and struggled, but that was amidst the bad run of form they were in. I'm not sure. I reckon they can make top six. I think top two. I think they might get crowded out in terms of squad, just the players that other teams around them have. But would fully expect them to feature in the playoffs now. I think Neil Warnock's really got them going. 11 points clear of 7th already. So they've really built up a big gap at this early stage. And yeah, you're just backing them to carry on getting results. And Friday night against the Norwich team out of form at home, again, you're expecting that to be another win for Neil Warnock.
Best defence in the league, of course. Only conceded 13 goals so far this season. That's far better than the next, which is Wolves and Villa as well. So, yeah, strong defences doing pretty well. This season, well-organised sides. Sheffield United, a little bit of a sticky run for them. Obviously, the thriller against Fulham, 5-4 defeat, and, well, a draw against Birmingham at the weekend. Next up for them is a trip to Millwall, which, again, it's a game you would expect them to probably win, but another tough test.
Yeah, Sheffield United, though, I think a team built to deal with trips to like Millwall. Millwall team who are struggling at the moment, both in the league table and both in recent form. Yeah, an absolute thriller at Bramall Lane last week, 5-4, very rare that you see it. But Leon Clark, mentioned it again, he's got a hat-trick in that defeat. Chris Wilder has turned him round from a journeyman, been at various clubs, to a prolific championship scorer. It's absolutely remarkable. And I think I said it last week, that if they go up and he gets 20, 25 goals, as he's on course to do, you imagine that they're going to start him in the Premier League, which would be a remarkable turnaround. But, of course, looking at this weekend, Millwall looks a winnable game for them, looking to get back into that top two. Now, a three-point gap between them and Cardiff, which... or 7 points between them and Wolves. And it seemed so tight at the top last week. A couple of dropped points has obviously drifted them away from it. But, yeah, a good side, a bit like Cardiff, probably overachieving compared to what we thought. We thought they might be a bit dark horses in the division, but we wanted kind of mid-table for them to build on. But, yeah, backing them to get back to winning ways against a Millwall team who are struggling at the moment. They had a decent-ish start, but 4 wins out of 19 reflects in where they are on the table. 5 points off relegation with a Sunderland team who's just changed their manager. So this time next week, they could find themselves only a couple of points away.
Millwall, it's starting to get a little bit sticky for them. But as you said, Clark, 13 goals, now the division's top scorer.
It's remarkable.
And if you add Billy Sharp into the mix as well, that's 21 goals between that striking partnership, which just shows where it is built up top for Sheffield United. Let's have a look at some of the Facebook comments that are coming in. Guy Balderson, he's been in touch a few times, saying Leeds are the best. Fans in the world. He also he's having a little conversation with Colin, one of the other listeners as well. Colin says Klitsch needs time, hard worker, playmaker.
We can kind of only go on what we've read about him, though, because again, we've just not seen enough of him, because you don't feel like he's been given a proper chance game time wise, but then you don't know what happens at training, I guess.
Philip says he was surprised at how bad Barnsley were, but it's not the same side that beat Leeds at Oakwell last season. The likes of Hurricane, Scoen Watkins, who ran the shorter thing of the past. Do you think Barnsley, they just don't have enough? I know that's when we discussed it on the Yorkshire Football Show. Mark doesn't think they've got enough. I think they might scrape by just because of the manager, but it's threadbare.
It is. I spoke to Mark, actually. Said he saw them on Tuesday against Cardiff and said they were dreadful. At that point, he's backing them to go down again, awful, on Saturday. They came up against a good Leeds team, but to be honest, 2-0, they were quite lucky. Felt Harvey Barnes should have been sent off. How he avoided that second yellow card, he considered himself very lucky before he then got subbed off. Shouts for a couple of penalties as well. It could have been a lot worse for him, and it could have genuinely been about a 4-5-0 result based on the way Leeds are going and just how poor Barnsley were. I'm undecided on Barnsley. A trip to Reading for them tonight. I'm not sure. I think there may be three worse teams, and that's what's going to keep them up. And the fact they have got a manager in Paul Heckenbottom, who, of course, we always praise because of the job he's doing, considering the circumstances. But I just can't imagine he's going to be around at Barnsley for much longer. Surely someone's got to come in and give him a job, because while they are 17th, you've got to look at the fact the players they've lost and the calibre of player they bought in, it's not the same. And he's still keeping them out of relegation.
Yeah, do you know what? I am his agent, Paul Heckenbottom.
Yes, you are, yes.
And I've touted him for a few jobs in the past. But do you know what I think would be a good destination for him? Just looking at the Championship and the way results are going and the short nature of everything these days. Norwich City. A club that plays or tries to play decent football. They've obviously tried something different this year with the German manager, and obviously
Huddersfield Town.
Yeah, they've essentially stolen Huddersfield Town with what's the guy, Webber?
Stuart Webber,
who left to go and take up a position there, and they've tried to follow that model. And I don't know, I just get the feeling that you would expect Norwich, right? They had a bad season last season coming out of the Premier League, but a bit like Villa. This season, they're doing the business now under Steve Bruce. you get the feeling that, that Norwich, they're going to lose even more players if they continue to be on, you know, to be finishing mid-table or lower in the Championship. They're going to end up, unless there's some real investment, they're going to end up also around in the Championship.
Yeah, they had a bit of a clear out, didn't they, in the summer? I think they tried to cut the wage bill. That reflects in some of the players that left. Spoke about Wolves, they picked up John Ruddy, of course, a very good goalkeeper. And then, again, look to the German divisions. Greffe Fürth, Bochum, Darmstadt, they're bringing players in there. Dortmund too, of course, Daniel Farke, old stomping ground, he knows about them. But then you've got to look at the players leaving, of course, Jacob Murphy, Johnny Howson going to Middlesbrough as well. Graham Dorans, Declan Rudd left as well. And the free transfers, they mentioned John Ruddy, Ryan Bennett, who, of course, Wolves picked up as well. There's some decent players who have gone on free transfers there, and it's all obviously as part of some wage bill cutting. They've bought players in, but again, are the players they've bought in the calibre of the players that have departed? You wouldn't imagine so. John Ruddy, Johnny House and Ryan Bennett, all very good Championship players, players you want if you're to be at the top end of the Championship, and they got rid of them. And it's showing now, and like you said, I'm not sure how long they'll give the manager there. I'm not sure what the expectation would be this year. Would it be top six, given the fact that Huddersfield Town did it? They've basically copied their model, copied their ideas, and they're miles off it. Not really sure what this season they thought they could achieve.
Yeah, Philip says Paul Heckingbottom to Everton. Hey, chaps. Yeah, I wouldn't wish that on him.
I'm
ruling him out officially of the Everton job. He's not going there.
No one's going to Everton. No one's. Huddersfield are going there on Saturday, and they won't have a manager in charge. It's remarkable.
Ridiculous. Although I kind of feel like every time I see David Unsworth, he's looking more and more like our very own Andrew Stats-Dalton with every game.
I don't know. I think I'd rather have Stats as a manager, to be honest.
Well, yeah, you'd certainly get the analytical approach.
Yes.
With old Stats. Sean Bates has got in touch. He's saying all about the Villa. And we'll see on Friday night. Philip De Breen says Ekiban to start versus Villa, either with or without Lasoga. With or without? If fit?
Without. I think I'd quite like to see Saez, Alioski, Hernandez, that trio stay, given how they perform quite well against Barnsley. And if Leeds are to play them, those three, they should be playing them at home at Elland Road for games like this, because that's when they should be showing up and that's when they need them.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think that is now the style, the system for Leeds? You know, should everyone stay fit? You know, what they've got at the minute, it seems like it's starting to work. The players in the attacking positions, which got Leeds to the top of the Championship, are clicking again.
Yeah, I think January they need to reinforce. I think a goalkeeper in the left side of that team needs evaluating. They need a left back in. Berardi, as much as he is a fan favourite, he's a right-footed right-back, not a left-back, despite him playing there last year, playing there this season. A left midfielder as well. They've got Stuart Dallas, who I think is the player they need away from home. More physical than a Pablo Hernandez and natural to the left side. But I think some reinforcement there would be a good addition. But for home games, Saez, Alioski, Hernandez, they're your real creators. Showed at Barnsley away, they've done it already this season and seem to have quite a good trio who seem to be on the same wavelength, but that's probably the way to go to start, but they do need some reinforcements. They're not constantly relying on them every game.
Sean Bates got back in touch. He's having trouble with Chibiki, saying what the something is that. But Philip says we signed Chibiki, let Antonsen go. He's scoring goals for Blackburn, so I don't see what that has achieved.
I'm not sure Marcus Antonsen has not scored that many, if I think rightly, for Blackburn. He scored a brace the other day. So he seems to be okay. They feed the Swede is the hashtag that I have seen through Blackburn fans. So obviously, he seems to be going. He's got 7 goals in all competitions. That includes a sub-appearance in the FA Cup, 6 goals in 13 in the league. It's not too bad, but 7 goals in 14 appearances in total League One standards. Not sure if he needs to make the step up. I think with Ekiban back, it looks better when you get Lasoga and Roof obviously looking good as well. I think maybe a few weeks ago, maybe last month, a month ago, you'd be going, maybe Antonsen on the bench might provide a bit more, but given the early good performances from Ekiban, I'm not quite sure if Antonsen is a player that Leeds will be using once he comes back from loan.
Yeah, few people liking Ekiban. Colin is one of them. Great player, works hard. Maka says Ekiban class against Barnsley. He's got to start the Villa. Also, Klitsch needs to be given a chance to show what he can do. That's echoing Colin's thoughts as well. Guy Balderson says, I tell you, Sam and Tom, I've been a Leeds fan for 47 years, and come Friday, we will show Villa.
The confidence is back. The confidence is back. A couple of good performances, good results, and the squad showing, this team showing what they can do, then, you know, the belief is there. But, again, like Middlesbrough, you get 3 points against Villa. Again, spirits are lifted, and you hope that they can kick on from there.
Paul Garner's been in touch a couple of times. He says Cardiff will fade, in his opinion. But then he gives his top six picks as well. He's gone for Wolves. I think he's a Wolves fan. Then Vile, which I presume is Aston Villa.
Yes.
Cardiff then third, so not fading too much. Sheffield United fourth. Other two places are up for grabs. Obviously Bristol City at the moment and Derby.
Yeah, it's interesting who will get those last two playoff places. But a word on Wolves, just how good are they? I mean, this is a team that scored 9 goals in their last 2 games. And against Leeds, by all accounts, at 2-0 they stopped. I think that's why Leeds got back into it, because they just stopped. It was like, right, we're done, we've won now. And then they went on and kicked on and scored 2 more. They have spent a bit. There's no point trying to sugarcoat that. You spend $18 million, $13 million on Helder Costa, who can come off the bench. However, some of the more remarkable players, the likes of Ruddy in goal, Ryan Bennett at the back. Up front, Bonatini, who's come from Saudi Arabia. I think when you think that's quite a remarkable pickup, and he's scoring goals. It's quite easy to use the headline of they're kind of trying to buy the league. But really, the top performers are the ones that they've actually done some decent business in. Got in on loan, paid not that much for. Again, looking at the striker, from where he's come from, it's actually a remarkable bit of scouting. Because, I don't know, the last time I checked, Saudi Arabia wasn't exactly a footballing kind of hotbed. So it shows kind of the scouting system they've now got in place there.
Yeah, there we go.
I think they're at the World Cup, to be fair, to Saudi Arabia.
Well, yeah.
I think.
It's undermining their achievements, Tom.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Saudi Arabia.
Go on, they are
the last time,
an emerging football nation.
The only time I've ever seen Saudi Arabia play was on TV. It was at the 2002 World Cup when Germany beat them like 8-0, something like that. And then I think then you've gone, oh, they're not very good, are they? They're not very good. Bonatini, he's very good. Saudi Arabia, not so much. Not having it.
No. One of those teams that when you used, well, when I used to play FIFA and stuff like that against my brother, I'd always be a team like Saudi Arabia just to prove a point.
Well, you can
beat Brazil,
anyone.
I'll
yeah.
be Saudi Arabia. See what happens.
Yeah, all the teams, whenever you go, all right, we'll randomise it a few times, and on the third random, we'll be that team. Oh, I've got Saudi Arabia. No, but at the World Cup, I think.
There we go.
I will check this, because I don't want to talk them up and go, actually, they're not the rubbish.
Yeah, I think you are right. Steph and Philip are having their own argument on Facebook about Antonsen. Steph echoing your point about the 6 goals. Philip says that Chibiki cost around £2 million. His point is that Antonsen is scoring goals for Blackburn, albeit 6 goals in 13 games. But you know, he can't be any worse, or the value for money is better having a guy that can score goals, albeit at League One, when you've got a player you paid £2 million for that's just not involved.
Yeah, not involved whatsoever. And it's weird, because read reports that Chibiki, you know, people were saying that they'd seen him at the Euro, and some respectable journalists were saying they've seen him at the Euro, the under-21 European Championship, I think it was. And he was fantastic, remarkable. What a player Leeds have got themselves here. He's just not involved. And it might show the flaws in the system that Leeds have, the director of football model, that they can get players in and Thomas Christiansen can go, well, I'm not using them. I don't want to use them. I don't need them. But again, it feels like he got the Leicester away game and didn't do well, but has he really been given a chance? I'm not too sure. But then again, like Click, we don't know what happens in training. If they're not impressing in training, he's not picking them, we don't know. So it's an interesting one. I can see the argument as to why Antonsen can be looked at. But again, He's a bit like Antonucci in his terms of his movement. He seems to like to move around a lot. But in terms of the goals, I'm not quite sure if he'd be up to it for Leeds. Quick one on Saudi Arabia. They did qualify. Finished second behind Japan, ahead of Australia, United Arab Emirates, Iraq and Thailand. 19 points from 10 games. They are at the World Cup. Well done, Saudi Arabia.
There we go. We start our Saudi Arabian show.
Yes.
This time next week. Thanks for that, Tom. I think that qualifies you as an expert in Saudi Arabian football.
Get in there.
Knowing that. Paul Garner, talking Wolves, says Connor Cody is their most influential player.
Connor Cody, who I think came from Liverpool, was at Huddersfield on loan?
Yeah, it was at Huddersfield, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think Wolves beat Leeds to the signing of him, if I remember rightly, a couple of years back. But yeah, again, it shows that it's that where the headline grabbing to go and they're spending £18 million on a player, whatever £15 million it was. And no point denying it. That's a lot of money for this division. But then whilst they're whilst they're performing, they're doing all right. At the same time, the players that they've had there all along, or the cheaper players who have come in, they've bought in via loans, via free transfers, via quite cheap prices for this division, are the ones who are really performing the best at the moment. So, fair play to them. You know, Wolves as well, they can, knowing a few of my mates from school, the Wolves fans, you've seen them on social media, they're loving it. And why not? Because had a tough few years, of course, the relegation down to League One as well. Remarkable, having been a Premier League team quite recently. So they're back, look on the way up, and by the sounds of it, if they get promoted to the Premier League, they seem to have an endless pot of transfer funds as well. So it seems quite an exciting time to be a Wolves fan, so fair enough.
Yeah, good to see a player getting the plaudits who, again, not one of the big signings that Wolves have made, as you just said, but another one of the academy talents that may be, you know, 15, 10, maybe 10's being a bit generous, but 15, 20 years ago, you know, might end up with more first-team appearances for Liverpool in the end, drops down, signed for Huddersfield Town permanently, around 400 grand, then Wolves come in, pay a couple of million quid for him, and then, you know, guiding a team to potentially the championship title a couple of years later.
Yeah, it's the players who, talking to the likes of Cody, it's the players who you don't notice are often the best players because they're the ones that quietly get on with their job, do what they need to do. And that obviously that it's working out for Wolves at the moment. So like I said, fair play to them. You know, you really fancy them at the moment just to carry on this, keep on going because they've obviously got a team that is too good for this division at the moment. And if/when I think they get promoted to the Premier League, it seems a matter of time, even if it's not this year, eventually you feel they will. You imagine when they get to the Premier League, they've got a bit of cash to spend. So it'd be quite an exciting few years to come if you're a Wolves fan.
Indeed. A little bit of a debate now starting on the Leeds goalkeeping situation. Philip started it off saying Christiansen brave to change it back to Vivalt, but personally think we need to knuckle down a number one either now or in January. People getting involved in that. Martin saying that Christiansen then needs to send Rob Green a Christmas card bottle of whiskey. he's had a couple of glasses. Call him, apologise, and ask for him back on loan with a pay rise. Jamie gets stuck in saying Felix will be a success this year. Trust in Jamie. Trust in Jamie? Do you trust in Felix?
Based on what I've seen of Felix, I'm not that confident. But again, him coming back in against Barnsley shows that Christiansen doesn't know who his number one is. But part of me thinks maybe we're only a month away now from January nearly. There's a transfer window coming. Victor Orta is the man who makes these signings. If the coach is swapping his goalkeepers around and has played one, dropped him, brought another one in, now drop that goalkeeper to bring the old goalkeeper back to play, maybe that's sending out a message saying, look, I need another goalkeeper here. And I think they need to get someone in who is a number one. They had Rob Green. Fortunately, he's gone now. They've just got to move on, look elsewhere. They were close to getting David Stockdale in. They looked at Stockdale, decided against it. He went to Birmingham instead. They went for Felix Wiedwald in the end. So again, there's a goalkeeper probably you trust a bit more. Not sure where they go, though, but you feel that he, depending how much say he has on transfers, Christensen will be highlighting goalkeeper as an issue. I think they just need someone with confidence who will come in, command the area, and just fill the defence with confidence more than anything. Give the team the confidence. So, interesting to see where they go. Not sure which route they go down. I'm not sure where they look. But I think for me, goalkeeper, you've got to be looking Championship, Premier League, etc. Maybe Liverpool, you look at Danny Ward, who was at Huddersfield last year, did very well. Don't know why Liverpool didn't let him go back out on loan. But maybe you look at them, try and get him on loan for the rest of the season, try and prize him away, because I think he'd be a decent addition, has had success at this level, and isn't playing where he is.
Mm. Yeah, and that's a very decent shout. Elsewhere, let's talk about, if I can get it right, this.
Yeah, obviously, you know, we keep talking about we got to have some character here, we got to keep fighting, and my boys have done that. They've done that. I've been here a year, they've done it, they kept going. And that's all you can do. And half our fans have gone home. So what I'd like to say to them is you should have stayed. Yeah, our boys need you. You should have stayed. Why didn't you stay? Everybody who did, fantastic. Well done. You deserve that as well. But don't go home early. If you don't want to, stay there.
A refreshing bit of honesty from Mr. Holloway against QPR's game against Brentford. Obviously 2-0 down at home against London rivals. Three defeats on the spin before that. 1-0 down, 81st minute. They get a second. Do you walk out, Tom, as a QPR fan?
No. Personally, because I've never left a football game early. But no, I just don't get it. I don't get why people leave games early. I've never been able to work out why. It's only at football. Nowhere else does this happen. You don't go to the theatre and go, ah, he probably killed her, I'm leaving now, see you later. Or, right, kids, come on, I've got to take us the 800 metres, but we can't watch the last lap because we need to get out
do.
And beat
I
the
I bet
tr-
you do.
I just don't get it. I don't get it. I think he's got a point there, to be fair, because you never know. You never know in football. Stuff like that can happen. It did happen. And they've missed it. So, yeah, I can understand his frustration. He's put out a bit of an apology today on QPR's website. I saw that just before we came on air, trying to clarify his comments. But
yeah, that's right, though, because you know he's made an honest statement and you know that's what he's feeling at the time. And there's a lot of people that agree with what he's saying. People, you know, do leave, and you maybe can understand after, you know, the defeats in a row and, you know, losing to the rivals and it looked dead and buried that some people might walk out. But yeah, he's made that statement now, so for me, he should just stick by it.
Well, yeah, I think he obviously meant it. He said it at the time, he means it, and I think he still means it. He can come out with whatever apology, but you know Ian Holloway, he says it as it is, and I think he obviously feels that. I don't get it. Again, I don't get it. I don't get, you know, I've seen Leeds when they were 6-0, lost 6-0 at Wednesday, when they lost with 5-0 down to Bolton at home of all teams, who got relegated, I think, that year. I just don't get. I understand it's frustrating, but you just never know. You never know what you could miss by leaving 10 minutes early. Even if it's not a comeback, you could see the best goal that maybe ever scored at Loftus Road. You don't know. And I can understand why he said it, and I agree with him.
Yeah, the wider point for QPR, where do you see them going this season? They've had some decent victories. You know, they beat a couple of the top sides at home before they had this sticky run.
Yeah.
And, you know, three defeats in a row before last night, and of course coming back to draw, which was impressive. But it seems like a club. Where is it going, QPR at the moment?
Don't know. Nowhere. They just. You don't think they'll go down, but you don't feel they're going to be anywhere near going up. They're just going to be there. They're going to be. It feels that they're just going to be mid-table forever. That they might flirt with relegation now and again. They might flirt with the playoffs, but really. You imagine they're going to be 16th, anywhere between 11th and 16th, maybe 12th to 17th. It just seems their territory now. It's been, you know, the claim when Tony Pulis was sat by West Brom in the Premier League, it was so much of a, well, they're not going anywhere. They'll never go down. They'll never go any further than where they are. And it feels like that at QPR at the moment. It really does. They're obviously suffering from the big spending Premier League promotion years. Under Redknapp, and yeah, it's been a struggle. Or under Redknapp, Warnock as well, but it's been a struggle recently. And again, you just don't think they're going to go anywhere. There's going to be Championship forever.
I just don't know with QPR. It's one of those where the manager is really on a hide into nothing. You know, with the resources he's probably now got, Ian Holloway, very difficult to get them towards the top six with the money in the division. And eventually, you know, everyone else is getting better, and you just stand still, really. But I said that about Ipswich, to be fair, and they've had a much better season so far.
See, if you're QPR and you finish 19th, 20th, do you then go, you know what, we should not try and get relegated, but if we got relegated, it might be the best way for us to then kick on up the Championship, go down, rebuild, come back stronger? Because they've got a decent enough team, but again, it just doesn't seem to be going anywhere. They've got one or two, you know, fairly decent players. And yeah, again, there are worse teams than them. There are better teams than them. You just don't know where they're going to go. You don't know where they're going to go.
Yeah, Preston up next for them. And Preston, one of those sides, they kind of followed Leeds a little bit in the fact they did well at the start of the season. They're in the top six and never reached the height that Leeds did, being the top of the Championship. But then they had an absolute horrendous run, losing games in a row, four, five, six games in a row. Now they're kind of coming out of it a little bit. Draw against Bolton, which is on paper not great, but it stopped the rot. Beating Bristol City away. And then drawing against Norwich again, another away day at the weekend for them, back at Deepdale for the visit of QPR on Saturday. So I think things are getting better for Preston. And another side where it's just, you know, it's mid-table, that's kind of your best you're hoping for, that you kind of top that little middle pack.
Yeah, when Simon Grayson left, we were kind of questioning, what's happening?
I thought they'd go down, to be fair.
Yeah, we thought Simon Grayson had overachieved with them. Alex Neil came in, very good start to the season, like you said, dropped off. Picked it up in recent weeks, but again, I think they've got the potential to finish around the 8th to 10th, around there, but I'm not sure if they can kick on and get playoffs. But saying that, we always see surprise teams make it. Huddersfield Town were last year, in terms of going into the season, we didn't expect much from them. Brentford, when they made it, in kind of a money ball type system that they were going on, they've done it. Teams have done it. But again, I just don't know. I think they're just a mid-table standard team. One of those teams that just pack up the league, add up the numbers. But I think they've probably got it in them to kick on a bit, push up the table. But I'm not sure if they're really kind of promotion or relegation material. Because Alex Neil seems to be able to get results despite the bad run of form that they were on until recently.
What about Sunderland? Let's talk about them. Chris Coleman in the job now. We said last week that the only thing they can do is improve. And they won.
Yes.
At the weekend. On their second victory this season, but they went away and beat Burton. And already you could see it with the way that the players went over to the fans, the way the players celebrated, the way Chris Coleman went to rally with the fans at the end of the game, that the spirit all of a sudden at Sunderland is a lot better. Whether Chris Coleman can maintain that is to be seen, but I suppose that's the one thing you can really say about his tenure at Wales is that he's built a great spirit within the squad. So if he can do that, Sunderland, just put them now to be comfortable in staying up, or do you think it's still a fight?
I'm not sure. I'm surprised when he took the job, because I'm not sure what he can achieve there, what he thinks he can achieve there. It's obviously a challenge, and is it a case of, well, if we go down, it's not my fault. I inherited a mess. I've tried to sort it out. I've not been able to. A needed 3 points in the stereotypical six-pointer against Burton. Instant new manager effect, because I think, I'm not sure if he took charge on Tuesday. I'm not sure if it was officially his first game. But, yeah, he's come in, done a job. I'm not too sure about him as a club-level manager. I think he's done well with Wales, but then at the same time, Wales played this underdog role, but at the end of the day, they had the likes of Gareth Bale, Aaron Ramsey, some very good players in there, so they were a decent enough outfit. And it kind of showed when Gareth Bale was unavailable, they failed to make the playoffs in their final weekend. So, not sure. I think there's too much to be done at Sunderland. I've said it again. He might just keep them up. But I think there are some real problems at the club. And I'm not sure if it's past what just one manager could come in and try and fix.
After that defeat at the weekend, Nigel Clough came out and said in his post-match that you know, it's a miracle that Burton win any game in this division, essentially. Do you feel like there could be a side defeated this season that Burton, there's only one way that they can go, that it is too much of a struggle with the amount of spending power in the Championship, that there will be a League One side again next year?
Again, I said at the start of the year, still feel it. I just think this is the year that they go down. They've done well enough to stay in the division when they came up, of course, but you look at some of the players they're bringing in, they're experienced players, but are they players who can keep them in this division? I'm not sure. Talk of Leeds, Luke Murphy going there on loan, really been down the pecking order recently in Leeds, hence why he's gone out on loan. Sean Scannell from Huddersfield, the kind of players that probably are high-end League One standard players, and they seem to be quite a high-end League One team. You had Jackson Irvine, of course, a talented player. He goes to Hull. It's difficult. It is difficult, and you feel that this is probably the year they go down, because it does seem like they're punching above their weight at the moment.
And Hull, 20th, another defeat for them, losing to Bristol City. That's three defeats in their last five games. And you're getting the manager now, Slutsky, saying that he's not convinced he's the man.
Yeah, it's... Again, at the start of the year, was pretty sure their problems, similar to Sunderland, there was too much to do to try and turn it round. It's kind of showing. Remarkable. 2-0 up at home to lose 3-2. Pretty much just sums up where the club is at the moment. And again, they've got a manager / head coach who obviously doesn't feel he's the one to do it. And you're kind of wondering, well, why are you still there then? What, is he waiting to be sacked to get a bit of a payoff? I don't know. But it's not great when you're throwing away 2-0 leads at home and then your manager just doesn't feel like he's the one to do it. So, yeah, again, it looks to be a club in a bad place at the moment.
Yep, Hull not doing very well. Let's talk about a club in a bad place.
Obviously, the result 5-1 is disappointing, but again, they're from mistakes.
And Harry Kewell, the Crawley manager, has started with three defeats, so disappointment for him.
So Harry Kewell still awaits his first win as a manager. But Crawley have been well and truly put to the sword tonight.
So, Tom, what's Hello. Happening? And Crawley's Harry still in a job?
Well, after Harry Kewell's meltdown, I'm going to put it in, trying to attack fans, it's been okay for him, actually, let's be fair. It seems trying to punch supporters brings out the best in your team.
Clear in the air.
Yeah, it's just, yeah.
All right, everyone's...
Get everything out into the open. Right, we're all done now. I'm sorry I punched a kid. So we're all right now. 4-0 hammering at Wickham. They bounced back with a 3-1 victory over Exeter. So they scored three goals in one game. Which is remarkable. And then they drew at Coventry 1-1. Coventry doing quite well, so a decent point there. But again, they're only 4 points off relegation. Talking of clubs not going anywhere, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're doing. They're not scoring enough goals. They've scored 17 goals in 20 games. This week, it's been okay, but looking at the reaction, it seems to be very much paper over the cracks. They're not in FA Cup action. Surprisingly, they got knocked out early on. Who'd have thought it? Take on Steve Evans, Mansfield next, to experience an upturn in form. So, don't know about that one. It's going to be a difficult afternoon for Harry's men.
Indeed. Tom, why don't you introduce this week's 30-second coil?
Yes. Playing career we're on to now. Of course, any player, you talk about your most memorable moments, and that's what's Owen's telling us about. Starts off by talking about his debut.
I stepped up, Hugh Sproul was the goalkeeper, sent him the wrong way and scored. Had you not scored, then you don't know how your career would have panned out, but that's the beauty of our careers in football, that on those big moments, you're prepared to stand up and be counted and make a difference. And unfortunately, you know, big games, I was able to do that. I mean, the playoff final as a player at Wembley for Bolton, to get to the Premier League, scored in front of 80,000 to be part of the team that would be ready to go into the Premier League.
He's like Carl Froch. He's got a goal in front of 80,000.
He's going to go on about it forever now. Forever.
Well done. Still going on about it now. 80,000 in scored a front on. No one's ever done that before.
Get those two in the room.
Well, that would be a self-indulgent show. More so than this.
Maybe.
Who would talk about Owen Coyle even though he doesn't manage in the Football League anymore? Surely that's a little bit of self-indulgence. Anyway, Tom, crack on. What is good days, bad days for this week? I'm thinking we've got probably about 40 seconds through this.
OK, start of Championship. Good with Wolves, of course. Where else? 5-1 victory over Bolton moves them 4 points clear at the top. 9 goals in the last two games. Bad for Hull City, said it already. 2-0 up at home. Lost 3-2 against Bristol City. The manager's time, very limited. On to League One. Good for Wigan. 3-1. Victory away at Rotherham. Your tip for promotion, out of form, moves them top of League One. It was bad for Fleetwood. A 0-0 draw with Blackpool means they're 5 without a win in the league. Chesterfield, the good day in League 2-2 to draw Mansfield means that their unbeaten run extends to 5 despite being bottom. It's bad for Stevenage. It's now just 1 win in the last 9 after defeat against Cambridge United at the weekend. 40 seconds, good days, bad days this week.
Yeah, excellent. Pretty good. Well, I think you may have a bit more time there, but never mind. Thanks, Tom, for racing right through that as ever. We'll be back on the FL72 next week. After 7 o'clock, you're going to be able to hear the proper sports evening show. Tom Maguire is in the chair for this one. He's kicking off with tunes to the likes of Bon Jovi, Cordeline and Wolf Alice as well. David Bolton's back with Yorkshire Nights from 10. And then from 6:30 a.m. in the morning when you wake up, Darren Harper is back with Good Morning Yorkshire. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.